Turn in your Bible for me, with me, please, Romans 12 and 18, New Living Translation, and also Ephesians chapter 4, and actually, no, that's not where we are. Actually, it's a message, wrong one. We're going to go to Acts chapter 19, verse 2. The different message came up here. Acts chapter 19, verse 2. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. And we're going to read Acts chapter 1, verse 8, in that fashion here. I talked to you last time about what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many of you remember that? And we'll get back to it again. I didn't finish. I wasn't satisfied with what I did. But I only wanted to introduce anyway, so I have in my heart more to teach on it. I have a whole bunch of stuff. I'm writing a little book. Smaller little book on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which will be out soon. My wife said it's almost done. And so if you want to learn about it, so I have a booklet for you. And then, we shared a little bit about the baptism, and I want to talk a little bit more in detail about it. We want to talk about the baptism of the Spirit in terms of it's another dimension. It's another level of your spirituality, and it's also a doorway into what we call the supernatural. The Bible says, Paul said, when I pray in tongues, I pray in the Spirit. Brother Hagin used to tell us, the best way to go into the Spirit is to pray in tongues. So immediately when you pray in tongues, you're in the Spirit. Your heart, you're connecting with God. And if you don't pray in tongues, I encourage you to receive this morning this dimension of the Spirit. And, I'm glad the Pentecostals got to me before the Baptist. And I got this experience. In fact, one of my teachers I admired very much, I had this experience, tremendous experience. I told you last time we were here about it. And he said, you can't get that. But he couldn't tell me, talk me out of it because I already had it. Amen. He said he couldn't get it, but I already had it. And so you can't talk somebody out of something, they've got it. I thank God for faith. Once you get something by faith, the devil can't steal it from you. But if you got it from somebody else, it's hard sometimes because you use somebody else's faith. You know, here's what I'm teaching in this church. I teach you how to pray for yourself so that you don't have to ask someone to pray for you. Now, there are times that you ask for prayer. There are times, yes, sometimes you do that. But most of the time, you pray for your own needs. And sometimes, I want to tell you this, you don't even have to pray for healing. Never have to pray for healing. No, you don't pray for healing? No, I don't have to pray for healing because it belongs to me already. I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to pray about it or for it because he's already got it from me. He gave it to me. I got it. I don't have to pray for money either. I already have money. God says he'll supply all your need. You don't ever have to pray. I don't pray for money. I don't ask God, give me money. I just say what God says in his word. He supplies money. Thank you, Lord, for supplying my need. I need, I'm claiming this for this ministry and so on, So that's what you do. So we don't have a lot of healing lines. You ever notice that? We don't pray because I believe that you need to learn how to pray for yourself and that there are some times when you're brand new Christian, we pray for you and thank God we do pray for you. But this is a grown-up church. If you want to come here, you have to pull up your pants, wash your own face, feed yourself, stop putting pablum on you and put up your britches and start serving and men act like men and women of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you here this morning? Praise God. I'm talking to the right bunch here. Praise God. I know, don't ask me, it's assault me after, so I'm just trying to teach you something. Amen. I want you to grow up. A baby church can't do anything. We need people to grow up in the Lord, that they can do something for people. You know, if you're all messed up every week and you're all confused and you're all full of anxiety, you're broke, and the devil's beating you up, and you say, come to my church. I'm going to your church. I'm not going to your church. We want to go to people where they're full of faith and power, amen? They have their needs met, and they know who they are in Christ, amen? They take their authority. and they read books and go to prayer meetings and they pray for the city and they pray for, you know, things all over the world. That's one thing I do every day. I pray for all the world situations. I talk to God about things that are happening in China and Russia and Asia and the Arab world and the Gentile world. And we pray for that. That's what you need to pray about. Amen? And don't have to, you know, pray about all your needs all day long because you already have everything in Jesus. You don't believe me? So come, keep coming to church. You'll learn. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen? So that's enough here. Praise God. So Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Every once in a while, you have to pastor somebody. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Have you received? That's the question. Have you received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 19, verse 2. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they said. No, that some of you. No, I didn't receive. We haven't even heard that there's a Holy Ghost, they said. We haven't heard that the Holy Spirit. Well, I heard there's the Holy Spirit. I grew up in the Catholic Church all my life. I was 24 years old when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, yet I was in church all my life. I went to church every Sunday, even when I drank, did all bad things on Friday, Saturday, and I went to church Sunday morning. But I was not born again. I was not saved. I was religious. I did ritual things. I did religious things. But I was not born again until one day, one evening, I got born again, received Jesus Christ by hearing the salvation message by Billy Graham. He said, you can receive Jesus right now. And it doesn't matter how you come to Jesus Christ, just come to him. For me, I was scared. I was tired. I needed peace. And I said, God, I need peace. I don't have any peace. And peace came to visit me that day. I got born again. Then I encountered another experience. I cried and cried and cried when I got saved. I cried about everything just had a wonderful time crying. It was so good. It felt so good to be saved. I felt so at peace. And then this was posed to me just like this here. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Well, I didn't know there was any Holy Ghost like that to have. Over here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Remember, he was leaving towards heaven. They were already disciples. They were born again. And in the 20th chapter of John, Jesus breathed on his disciples and says, receive the Holy Ghost. That's when they got born again. You look at it in Acts chapter 20. And then when he left, he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He told them that in three chapters. Chapter 14 of John, 15 and 16, he introduces his disciples to the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going. And so he was quoting what they were saying over there in the Old Testament, the apostles, the prophets were talking about the coming of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to dwell in us, and we'll have an experience. And Joel says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. My wife and I were talking this morning, you know. I'm eating something there, and she talked about the Holy Ghost. I can't remember what you said, honey, about wind or something. The sound. She said, you know what? She's teaching, you know, the Old Testament. She said, I read in the Bible that there was a sound when the Holy Spirit, she said, I don't know if it was like the sound of all those people there or a sound of something else or whatever it was. I said, the Bible said there's a sound from heaven. Amen? A heavenly sound. But I told her, when I received the Holy Spirit, I heard the sound. I felt the sound. I said to him, I felt that, you know, when I was filled with the Spirit, I felt the wind of the Spirit come down on me. It was like a helicopter over my head, a big wind going, boof, 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 coming all over me. And I entered into that Spirit, and I went out in the Spirit, and I went into a trance, and just went into the Spirit, like a real presence of God came over me, the peace of God, knowing that there is a God in heaven, and it filled me up. And we talked about the fact that I had that experience. Not everybody has that experience. For some reason, God gave me that, and I believe because of the future, I would have to have an experience like that to come against the things that was coming against me. And many devils came to me to tell me that I was not qualified to be a pastor, to be called to be a child of God. And then I had those experiences later on, had more than that again. But everybody has their experiences. You don't have to have the wind. Just take it by faith, amen? So here the Greek, the Bible says you will receive power, Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Somebody says the Holy Spirit is with you before you were saved. At salvation, he comes in you. And at service, serving him, he comes upon you. Three experiences of the Spirit. So, but you, when you receive, Jesus talked about he'll be there. He said he will, when he comes upon you, the Holy, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Ever say witnesses? So a witness is somebody, the first thing when I received the Holy Spirit, I was a witness because I knew, I saw the tomb. I saw that Jesus was risen. That's the first thing the Holy Spirit showed me, that there is a tomb there, and it was empty. Jesus was alive. That's the first thing the Holy Spirit showed me. The next thing he showed me was I had the wrong hairstyle. No, I'm just kidding. No, he just said it's about other things, you know. Some of you said, well, what did he look like? You know, what did Jesus look like? They say, well, I don't know what he looks like. He looks like you. He said he'll be witnesses everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so he's talking about we can be a witness of power wherever we are. And those guys who were filled, they were so full of the Holy Spirit. They were strong, praise God. Amen? You know, Daniel says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen? So the word power in that verse of Scripture is there's a couple of Greek two words that you need to understand. The word power, there's one power. There's a word called power in there that's exousia is the Greek word, and that is, it means authority. Authority, but this word is the word dunamis, and the word Greek dunamis means dynamite power, explosive power. The word dunamis is where we get the word dynamite, which is power, you know. So he said, you will receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because you need power to be a witness. And we need to understand that, and I want to just go back history here, show you something, because these people were already born again. Jesus, when Jesus left them, they were already saved. But he said, I'm sending my Spirit upon you. They received another spirit, a dimension of the Spirit. And when the apostle Paul came to the church at Ephesus, they were already saved. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? So they were believers. They were already saved. And yet, he said, we didn't know there's any Holy Spirit. In the 19th chapter, in verse 6, he prayed for them. They laid hands upon them. They received the Holy Spirit. They prophesied and they spoke with tongues. So tongues is also a sign. I know Pastor Ken once, he was talking to a denomination preacher here in the town, and they got to talk, and he said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? The guy said, oh, yeah, I am. And then Pastor Ken, oh, yeah, you speak with tongues. He said, no, I don't speak no tongues. Then he says, yeah, Pastor Ken said, then you're not filled. He said, yes, I'm filled. He said, you're filled? No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. And so they were talking like that for a while. And then Ken punched him. No, I'm just kidding. No, he didn't punch. They just kept talking. I guess he probably wanted to. I'm adding my own story. They were just talking. And so, you know, it's silly. We're not going to argue. We're not going to argue about that. We're just going to show what Scripture says. So like that guy tried to argue with me before I already had it. He said, you can't receive it. I already had it. And he had a PhD at the end of his name. Amen. That's right. He was a PhD. He had a doctorate degree in theology. And I was just a student. And he was a pastor and a PhD. And he said, you can't receive it. I already received it. Amen. I spoke with tongues and I prophesied. Thank God. Anyway, the Greek word here, you receive power or dunamis, where we get that English word dynamite, explosive power. So this power is for being a witness. And just in short, I'm going to say that for now, and we'll talk some more later. So I propose this idea again concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I believe, you know, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why I received many experiences afterwards with God. And I think that's why, you know, they told us, I heard this many times after I was filled, and they said the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a doorway to the supernatural. It just brings you into another dimension of power. And I always tell the story, and I just was just happy, you know, Charlotte's dad came to my house. He was a bishop. He was in charge of all the churches in the north. And he came to my house. He witnessed to my dad, told my dad about Jesus, spoke to him in his language. Well, he's Ojibwe, my dad's Cree, Ojibwe. But he understood. And my dad went on his knees and received Jesus Christ and got born again in his own house. And I was sitting there with my dad and my mother and Charlotte's dad, Absalom, preached a message of Acts chapter 2. In the last days, I pour out my spirit. And when Absalom lifted his hand, he said, the Spirit of God says he'll pour out all his spirit. When he said that, bang, I got hit again. I went out into the spirit again. It's like the Lord slapped me back into the spiritual realm. And I spoke with tongues. It's like the Holy Spirit was forcing me to speak with tongues. But you know, I was so open. I was so hungry for God. If you're so hungry to God, you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. But if you're not that hungry, you won't be filled. You know, you can go to the table today after the service, and if you're just hungry, you'll just devour the food. Right? But if you're not hungry, you just say, oh, yeah, just a little taste here. But if you're hungry, you just like the Cookie Monster. Just eat up everything. But I was hungry. I was so hungry for God. I can't tell you how hungry I was. Say, how hungry were you? Some of you are slow. But anyways, I was so hungry for God. I was so hungry for God. I was born again. I was a few years sober. You know, I went through the whole detox thing and all that stuff and treatment. And, you know, I was in AA. But I was hungry for God. I was going to meetings, reading all their literature. But I was hungry for God. They told me I had to come to God. And I thought I had God, but I needed to be born again, which I did. But I was still hungry for God. You know, you need to get hungry. If you're not hungry, you won't get that much. But I'm going to go to Maxine's soon, and we're going to eat over there. She said, I think she might have invited me last night there. But I think she was coming to my house. But I thought she was bringing a pot of soup or something. But it happened to be in the gym. He said, you go ahead and work out. I said, oh, man. Anyways, if you don't know what I'm talking about, forget it. Anyway. So you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Now, here's the idea. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a doorway into the supernatural world of dimension of the Spirit that you probably would not, you know, think about naturally speaking. So I'm going to ask the same question Paul said. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? In the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 2, the apostle Paul asked the believers at Ephesus the same question. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them, no, he said. We haven't heard that there was a Holy Spirit at all. So the question, why did Paul ask this question to them since they were already believers if they had this Holy Spirit, as they mentioned? And they were already saved. So you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. So they have the Holy Spirit. So there's got to be another dimension. So not all believers have the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But all believers must have the indwelling. Because he is with you before you're saved. He comes in you when you're born again or saved, and he comes upon you after when you serve him for service. And that's a continual experience throughout your whole life. You could be filled again and again and again. We see this in the scriptures. You don't just have one infilling. You have subsequent infillings. Because in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, that's the first time they were filled. Verse 6, the Bible says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Then way later, Paul writes them a letter called the Book of Ephesians. The same people that he's talking about in Acts chapter 19. He asked them, he told them, keep being filled. Ephesians 5 and 19, I believe it is, or 18 there. He told them, continually be filled with the Spirit. So, if you've been filled with the Spirit before, you can receive again. I received this morning again. And, you know, you come to a service where it's nice and, as we say, juicy. Just oh, wow, this is wonderful. This presence is wonderful here. You can't just get that in Walmart. You get it in a place where there's corporate presence of God when everybody's worshiping. There's a stronger level of faith and power in a service like that. And that's why people start crying when they come into service like this. They start crying and they just is so, it's wonderful. And I remember being like that, especially when I was first saved. I was so sensitive with the Spirit. And you have to be careful after a while, after you get saved, you just take it for granted. Then you lose that after. Don't ever lose that. Now, theologically speaking, people do believe that they have the Holy Spirit in them, but also that they can have another dimension. They can be filled again, filled with the Spirit. You can't be saved without the Spirit residing in you as a believer. You can't serve God the way God wants you to serve him without this infilling. You'll just be like a natural person, anywhere, like anybody else. You don't want to be a natural person. You want to be supernatural. You want to be a powerful witness wherever you go, unless you're afraid to tell people you're saved. Are you afraid to tell people? Then you're probably not filled. Because I don't want them people to know I'm saved. I want to know. You want to hear me speak with tongues? Tell them. Listen to me. No, don't. You don't do that. Don't do that. So another experience. So we advocate that here in this church. And churches like ours, there is another experience after salvation. We need to know, and it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the infilling. Evidently, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, thought this was important to ask him this question again, and told him about this question another time later when he wrote him a letter. So did Jesus when he said to his church, his disciples, he said, "Wait for the promise of my Spirit. I'm going to send you." And a few days later, they were filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues, as when Jesus left. So Paul's question to those Ephesians is saying, there is a subsequent experience, another experience besides being born again. And that is to be filled with the Spirit or to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, Paul is speaking about here, it's called the infilling as well. This dimension he spoke about, have you received the Holy Spirit? This is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it is a subsequent experience. And Jesus spoke of this experience to his disciples themselves before he departed from them into heaven, as recorded in the book of Acts chapter 1 and then later on in chapter 2. Jesus said in Acts 1:5, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You have that? Amen. You see it? He said, in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He told them that. And why he said a few days? Because some of them were slow. No, he was, I don't know why. It doesn't matter why. But he said in a few days. That's what we know. But today, we don't have to wait. He's already here. He's already given. The Spirit of God has been poured out. You don't have to wait anymore. You don't have to wait, oh, I'm going to pray here for several hours and fast. No, you don't have to do that anymore. And some of you, you've been filled once before, but you haven't had a filling for a long time. I can just tell by looking at you. Eh? You know, you don't want to be confused. But some of you will receive this morning. So Jesus said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The NLT says, Acts 1:5. So Ananias, let's talk about Paul here. So Paul had an experience. Everybody say Paul's experience. I want to show you about Paul. He was a prophet, an apostle. He was a pastor as well. He pastored the church a little bit and turned it over to Timothy. He was also a teacher. The first gift he had was one of the first gifts he had was a preacher and a teacher. Pastor Ken is a preacher. He's a preaching machine. I thought I was not going to get up here when he started preaching. Ah, you got to do this. But he did pretty good, didn't he?
Amen.
Praise God. I taught him all that he knew. Pass it on. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 17 and 18 for a second. I want to show you Paul's experience. Now, first chapter, the first few verses, he's talking about that Paul was threatening out, breathing out threatenings and all that. He was violent and all that stuff. You know, I've seen on the internet that people are dying for their faith in different countries. They're getting their heads chopped off and stuff. But in this country, you don't have to worry about that. So Ananias, Acts chapter 9, verse 17. So Ananias found Saul, laid his hands upon him and said, Brother Saul. Everybody said, Brother Saul.
Brother Saul.
So you can't be a brother if you're not born again. So he was born again. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might again receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul had this experience being filled with the Holy Spirit. But he was also a believer as well. It's pretty quiet in here in this church. Instantly, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. That's baptized in water. Paul was filled, so filled, there at that time that he went right out to preach right away. He became an instant witness for Jesus. He was saved, as I mentioned, because we know that because Ananias wouldn't have called him Brother Saul. So he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, Who are you, Lord? So he became the Lord. The Lord and Savior of his life was Jesus. Saul asked, the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. So he received Jesus Christ. He says, Get up and go to the city. You will be told what you must do. Later, Paul says, it doesn't say there that he spoke with tongues, but it said that he was baptized with the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. It says that in that chapter. But later on in Acts chapter, first he wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, and they were having problems with tongues and interpretation of tongues and gifts of the Spirit, and he wrote a whole chapter on it about that experience. He says in Acts chapter 14, verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Praise God. So he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Did he receive the same as those in the beginning? Yes, he did. He spoke with tongues. He wanted everyone to speak with tongues, the Bible says. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:5, he said, I wish you all would all speak with tongues, even more I wish you could all speak in tongues, even more I wish that you would all prophesy. That means they were speaking in language because tongues and interpretation of tongues are equal to prophecy. So prophecy, you don't need to have an interpretation. You just need to prophesy. That's a gift. Anybody here can just do. Anybody here, anyone here in this room right now, you can prophesy. I'm talking about the general prophetic word. You can prophesy. That's not saying with revelation. If you have revelation, then that's another gift. That would be, a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. But anybody can prophesy. Anybody can also pray in tongues here as well. Now, I'm saying this because I'm not just preaching on this because, you know, I don't have anything to preach about. You see, because this is so important that people think, I don't need to hear this again. You know, I heard this before. No, you don't. You need to hear this again. But evidently, you're not speaking in tongues enough. And when you speak in tongues, you'll receive revelation from God yourself. And talk. He'll talk to you about different things. He'll lead you and guide you supernaturally. So he said, I spoke in tongues more than you all. I wish you would all speak with tongues. He said that. So he must think this is important. The Holy Spirit was talking through Paul. So Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is a baptizer. So are you going to give me problems back there or what? That baby is, we got through with Kendra and them back there, way back, you know, a little fella was just crying away. Now he's like 14, 15 years old. There he is back there. He's not crying anymore. He just needs hockey sticks. I got a cute, when we moved into this building, the old fella was here, he'd hang around with his dad and stuff and bug people. And they were getting the floor run, and he was dancing in front here. We still have that video. We're going to show it at some point then. He was so cute. We got to see that video. We got to put it back on again. Anyway, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you know, there's three baptisms we need to understand. There's three baptisms that you and I need to concern ourselves about. Number one, the baptism into the body of Christ, which the Holy Spirit takes you and he puts you into. The word baptism is a Greek word baptizo, which means to put into or to dip into and to immerse into. So when you got born again, the Holy Spirit took your spirit, your born again spirit, and he put you into the body of Christ. You became a member of the, instantly of the body of Christ. You're everywhere, all over the world, wherever Christians are, you're one with those people. Somebody could be standing on top of China Mountain somewhere or in Israel or wherever they are. If he's a believer, you're one in the spirit with that person right now. You belong to the same body. And if God came and Jesus came and took this church up, you'd be going up with them. And so the concern that you need to have is understanding this, that you are put into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized you into the body. We'll see that in Scripture. When you got saved, he took you and put you into the body. You're identified as one with Christ. After you got saved, where are you going now? I'm going to have to talk to that girl one of these days when she gets... But anyway... So when you got saved, now that you're born again, there's another thing you need to do, and that is be baptized in water. So the first baptism is the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body. The second thing that you usually do, it doesn't have to be this way, but it can be, that a person, like a minister, baptizes you in water. I didn't want to say man because people are just, you know how people are. So the Bible says man baptizes you in water as a sign that you are been put into the body of Christ. When you go into the water, like, you know, natural water, when they baptize you, you go in, you come up. That's a sign that you died and you rose with Jesus. So that's what baptism is, and everyone needs to be baptized in water. How many of you have never been baptized in water? Let me see your hand. One. Anybody else? Two. We want to baptize you this afternoon. No. You need to be baptized in water. I was baptized in water in the Boulevard Lake in August. Yeah, I was cold. So I was baptized in water, just showing that I was tough. No, showing that I was born again. And then the third baptism is the one we're talking about right now, where Jesus baptizes you so full of the Holy Spirit that you just overflow with the power of God. That's the third baptism that we're talking about right now. So the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ when you commit yourself to Jesus. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. This is a scripture to show you this fact. By one Spirit we are baptized or put into one body. Remember, the word baptized means to be to put into, immerse you into. Whether we Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all have been made to drink in one Spirit. Romans 6:3 says this. Listen very carefully. Do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ? So we were baptized into Christ or into his body. We were baptized to his death. It was symbolic of his dying. We were, you know, we died to, you know, as a sign as well. The word baptized, as said, means to put into. So secondly, we said ministers of the gospel baptize us into water as a sign of the death of the old self and renewed to the into the new life in Christ. Matthew 28 and 19 says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, 19. That's talking about water baptism. Jesus speaks to his disciples about this and commanded them to be water baptized. Now, Jesus commanded to you to be baptized in water. He didn't say it's an option. He said, do it. I need you to do it. I want you to do it. Jesus wants you to be baptized in water. Wouldn't you do what Jesus said? Wouldn't you want to do what he said? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you would, yeah. So I'm thinking faster than I'm talking. Anyway, Acts chapter 8, verse 36-38, New King James says this. Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water, and a eunuch said, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? Now he was witnessing to him about this baptism. And they were talking there. And then Philip said, if you believe that with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water and he baptized him. So the eunuch here was a government worker, evidently. He worked there for the, you know, for the administration. And he was hungry for salvation. And he also got filled with the Holy Spirit. You got the whole everything there over there. He preached to him. And he got baptized in water, the Bible says. And so Jesus baptizes every person to serve him. Here's John's testimony. John, in the Gospel of John testifies that Jesus is a baptizer. He says, you know, John, you know, if you'll see that in the first chapter there, he says that he'll baptize you in the Spirit. Here in Mark chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I baptize you with water. Here, that's what John says. With water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So this is a different baptism. Baptizing you in the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he said, I baptize you with water who repent from their sins and turn to God. In the latter section of the verse, he said, I will baptize you. He will baptize you. That is, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what he says. So we see here that they're talking about the same thing, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, in Luke chapter 24:49, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to them, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city until you be endued with power from on high. So he's equating this baptism or this Spirit with power. They were already believers. Evidently, you need power to live for Jesus. Amen. To be a witness, to say no to sin, to say no to the devil, to say no to a lot of things, because you need an extra portion of this dimension of power in your life. Okay? So we are, that's what we need. So in Acts chapter, go back to Acts chapter 1 there, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So Acts chapter 1 in verse 4 says that this Spirit is a promise. A promise. Luke 24:49 says, a promise. A promise of power. A promise by the Spirit. A promise of power. So we need to ask some questions. Do I need the power? Do I need this dimension? That's a question for you to answer for yourself. Evidently, some people say, I don't really need no power. I just live like the rest of the world. Come on now. You can just live any way you want, you know, in the natural, and just live anywhere you want. But you, in order for you to live for God fully, you need this dimension of power. Because you can't do this by yourself. This living by faith, you know, you need the power of God in you, working in you in so many ways. And when you need the power, it'll work for you. And you won't be afraid. So when I had this encounter, I was no longer afraid. I knew there is another dimension. I knew if I met up with the devil himself, I knew I could defeat him because I had the power of God. I had this experience. So verse 5 of Acts chapter 1 says, John truly baptized with water, Jesus said. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days. So he's saying, yeah, John baptized with water, but I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, he says. Amen. How many of you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. We need to be baptized. And you don't have to be baptized in water before you get this. You could do the water thing afterwards. We could see that in Scripture too. So the promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with tongues. They all spoke with tongues. And they didn't have to teach them. They spoke with tongues. No one taught me to speak in tongues. I was filled with the Spirit. I spoke with tongues. Did I know what I was talking about? No. Do I still know? No. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2 that when I speak in tongues, I talk to God. And I speak mysteries, hidden truth, not obvious to our senses. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, when I speak with tongues, my spirit in me, my own spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me speaks to God. And when I pray in tongues, Romans 8:26 says that when I speak with tongues, what happens? I'm speaking the wisdom of God and the will of God, verse 26, 27, and 28. I speak to the power of God. You know, you don't know everything. The Holy Spirit knows when you start speaking in tongues. If you pray over situations in your life in the Spirit, pray with the Spirit of God in power, you're praying the will of God in your life. You're going to pray the will of God in your life. And God's will is perfect. Because you can be born again and live the way you want to and just still have troubles. I mean, more troubles. Of course, we all have troubles, but you have more trouble when you don't have the Spirit of God like that. Luke said in his gospel that if any believer would ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, he would give them the gift of the Spirit. So you can't work for it. You can't be any more better than you are right now. You can't work for it. You can't pray enough for the Holy Spirit. You can't be holy enough for the Holy Spirit. The Lord said, I'm going to give you so that you can live holy. You can have these things. He said, if you would ask him, he would give it to you. Luke chapter 11 and 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, the word evil is actually natural. How much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So for me, I prayed for a month. I just kind of a little slow taking it in because I needed to know what I was doing. Because in my church, I came from a Catholic background. They said, you know, hey, Mary even spoke with tongues. Mary got this experience. So I want to be like Mary, Jesus' mother. I want this too. So I said, okay, I'm going to have this. I'm not afraid. So, Acts 10:45, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, for as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured upon the Gentiles also. This is a gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be 20 days sober. You don't have to have a six-month membership in church. You don't have to live 1 year of Christian service. No, you can receive it right now. You can receive it the day you got born again. You can receive that even right then. I've seen people do that. I've seen people so hungry that I'm going to ask them, and they are filled immediately before I can ask them. I was going to open my mouth. I'm going to say, you want to be filled? I'm going to say, you want to be filled? And do this, and they start speaking in tongues. Blah, 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 blah. Why? Because they're hungry. They want this dimension. That's what happened to Acts chapter 10, verse 44. The Bible says that Peter was preaching, and those that heard the word, they didn't wait for anybody to lay hands upon them. They didn't wait for an altar call. They just started speaking with tongues. They started, were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke with tongues. Amen. Praise God. Are you here yet? I'm emphasizing this because this church needs a good facelift. Amen. Your smile is like this. It's got to be like this. The guy says to me, smile. He said, I am smiling on the inside. I said, well, show us. Amen. You know, you can help me sometimes by just smiling. When I look at you, smile. Just go, yeah. Praise God, yeah. You know? That's what I try to do when, you know, sometimes I get busy writing, but you get busy writing too, and maybe you're so mesmerized, like, you know, like you go like that. But you need to show the preacher sometimes. Don't just yell at him, just smile too. Because we can see as well as hear. Yeah? You can yell all you want, but sometimes you might not even be listening. Praise God. The devil is strong. Yeah, praise God. Yes, yeah, right. You know, you're just saying something. Peter said, Acts 11:17, therefore God gave them the gift as he gave us. So he was so surprised that he, being a Jew, a good Jew, and Jesus was with them for 3 years, and he left and he baptized them. They spoke with tongues, had a great experience. And then he went over to they had to be persuaded to get out of Jerusalem and go and talk to people they didn't want to talk to, like the Samaritans. They were half-breed Jews. They didn't want to talk to them. They had this wall between them. And there were Gentiles everywhere. And when he was sent out to the Gentile world, he talked to them, and he was surprised. They were, oh, they got the same gift we have. You know, we need this experience. And so Peter said, God gave them the same gift as us. There's only one Holy Ghost. I told you about my experience. But in Acts chapter 1, that's the precedent. That's the church where they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with tongues. And this fulfilled prophecy that this was what Jesus promised. They're all baptized with the Holy Spirit and with power. This is a doorway to the supernatural, and they did supernatural things for God. They got the power, or the dunamis. And so we see this time and time again. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, all believers, the Bible says in verse 1, we're meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a roaring and of a mighty windstorm, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. At that time, they were devout Jews of every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard them, a loud noise, everyone came running. And they were all bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken in by other believers, by the believers. They were all completely amazed. How can this be? They explained. These people are from all the Galilee, and we hear them speak in our own languages. Now, there's a couple of things happened there, and that is that there was also another dimension where they were all speaking actual language. So some people use this verse and other verses to say that, you know, tongues is an actual language that somebody knows, or you have a gift of that. But there's another dimension that is the prayer language is a different thing altogether. It's another dimension of that gift, same gift, but another area. Because evidently, other scriptures say, Paul says, when I speak in tongues, I don't understand it. Nobody understands me, but God knows. So that's different from this particular experience here. This is not interpretation of tongues. So that would mean that everybody heard them in their own language. It means that they all had interpretation, but you know, they had an actual language. God did something there to show everybody that I'm at work among these people. And God needs to fill you with the Spirit so that people will know that He's at work among you. When Paul said, when he came to the Corinthian church, that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You'll know exactly that God's working in me and through me when you hear me speak. You know when I'm talking, you know that God is speaking. Because I'm talking to your heart, and there is another dimension. You can just sense the power of God. You can sense heavenly, spiritual, something coming to you by the preacher's voice. I've been in places where God used me with my voice. Walked up to somebody, and when I said hello, they were filled with the Spirit. I was talking to someone. I talked to somebody from another town on the phone, and they were filled with the Spirit. On the other side of town, on the other side of the country. And that's the dimension of the Spirit. Some people took my tape once. I was speaking about this. They put it on at night, listening at night during the night. And they're hearing me preaching during the night in this message. And they heard that. And they fell off their chair, fell off their bed. And this gets rattled out with the power of God. That's the dimension of power. So, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Acts 2 and verse 4 to 8. Is the precedent. It's the first experience. It set the tone of what the church needs to have. They were all filled. They spoke with tongues. This was a determining factor. They spoke with tongues. Now I didn't want to receive the Holy Spirit because I wanted tongues. I just wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I spoke with tongues. So if you're just coming forward and say, well, I want to speak with tongues, let's show me. Go ahead, pray for me. Try and pray for me. No, you need to be hungry for God. Say, God, I want this gift. Amen. I'm convinced because of the Scriptures. No one's going to force you. God's never going to force you. He doesn't force you to do anything. He don't force you to go to church. You came by yourself. He don't force you to pray. You pray yourself. He doesn't force you to get healed. Amen? They say, okay, Lord, force me. And then I'll believe you then. No, you can just, some people are being filled right now. They can't wait. So we're going to come back to this again. We're going to stop here and show you time and time again, everyone who was filled spoke with tongues. Everyone. No one was left out. I said, well, I'll get mine later. And well, you can probably. I mean, maybe you can. I don't know. But I see when you're filled, you speak right away. Now, we're not going to pray for you right here. We're going to take you downstairs and we're going to force you. No, we won't. No, we're not going to do it in here because it's private between you and God. And if God does it here, with people, fine. But we're not going to show you on screen. And then all your friends see you. I see you going to that Holy Roller Church, eh? I see you join the Holy Roller Church. I always tell my wife that. She's dressing up and going somewhere. Put her makeup on, shoes, you know, and I always tell her. So you're going to that Holy Roller Church, aren't you? She says, yeah. And he said, you all speak with tongues there? And he said, yeah. Praise God. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit right now, right where you're sitting. No one has to lay hands on you. No one has to force you. No one, that's not for embarrassment. But if you're hungry, man, you just, oh, I don't care who sees me. I want this. Glory to God.